Brothers and sisters, my name is Frank Jacobs, business manager of IBW Local 1 and secretary of the Electrical Workers Historical Society, the 501c3 nonprofit established by the International Office to govern the Henry Miller Museum. I'm proud to say that thanks to your support, the humble boarding house where we were founded now stands as a lasting testament not just to our founders, but to all the IBW men and women who have carried us to this place and time. A quote by W.H. Murray reads, "Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, concerning all acts of initiative and creation. There is one elementary truth that ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, rising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents, meetings, and material assistance, which no man could have dreamed would have come his way. Whatever you can do, or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now." Never did those words ring more true than in our dream to save the home of our first convention. The story you're about to hear exemplifies how our community connects in ways that we sometimes overlook. The story of how a couple of Local 9 transmission linemen would leave this lasting mark on the IBW and the Henry Miller Museum. We apologize for the poor quality of some of the recorded phone interviews. We have upgraded our hardware and solved the problem for future podcasts, but unfortunately, some of this cannot be redone. We learned this past month of the passing of longtime Local 9 business manager and retired chairman of the International Executive Council, Bob Pearson, one of the featured interviews of this podcast. We hope you will cherish his words as much as we do. So put on your headphones or plug your phone into your car's auxiliary input and turn up the volume and listen in now as we tell the story of the unique, one-of-a-kind glass insulators gleaming atop the utility pole cross arms in Founders Plaza. We dedicated this podcast to the memory of Brother Bob Pearson. Rest in peace, brother.
The tiny village of Hillside, Illinois, sits just 14 miles west of the city of Chicago and boasts one of the IBW's oldest outside local unions. Founding Father Thomas T.J. Fennell would pen his name to Local 9's charter on January 27, 1892, and the local remains the primary source for skilled linemen in the greater Chicagoland area. Here is current business manager Bill Niesman detailing the vast territory supported by his members.
We've got basically four counties up here. It's called Will, Cook, Kankakee, and Grundy counties. So we're along the lake, north of the city of Chicago, and then about 30-plus miles south of the city of Chicago, and then probably out about 30 miles west of it, too. And then on our line clearance division, we have all of the Edison property. So we've got about 800 tree trimmers that basically cover from the lake almost to the Iowa border and from the Wisconsin border to the north down to the very southern end of our jurisdiction at the end of Kankakee and Will counties.
And when it came time to donate to the Henry Miller Museum, the support from Local 9 members was unanimous.
You know what? I think it was a great idea, to be honest, which and seeing everybody, all of our delegates that we brought down, that they got a chance to get over there, they all loved it. And I know when we talked to our membership about making a donation, there wasn't a single question on the floor. It was just do it. So as far as our members and us, we're thrilled about it. We were more than happy to make a donation. We think it's a great idea. I mean, you gotta look back at your history and be able to showcase that. And I think it was a phenomenal idea to do.
In addition to their significant monetary donation, Local 9 would contribute in another, perhaps more unique and lasting way. But to tell the story, we have to go back to the late 1960s, when two young lineman friends were separated along parallel paths in the industry. Larry Vinziano would take the reins of his father's company, H&H Electric, and carry it into the next generation. Bob Pearson would be invited to join the administration of his union, and their friendship would evolve into a lifelong labor management partnership that has become a hallmark of the IBW. Here is Larry Vinziano reflecting on his friend's initial reluctance to hang up the tools.
He just retired, And we have a new one now, a young boy that used to work for me, and he's young, and I think he's going to do real good for it. I was real sorry to see Bobby leave, but he's Bobby's 75 years old. We worked together, and he's a great guy, great for the union, and I mean, he really did a good job he's been in power for 28 years, I think it was, and I had a job that bucked up against his job, and he says, well, you know, they want me to go in and be assistant BA. He says, I'm not putting a suit on. I'm not going to do that. And I said, Bob, I said, you know, you could make some changes.
And make changes he did. Bob would guide Local 9 for almost 20 years and find himself elevated into one of the IBEW's most powerful positions, chairman of the International Executive Council.
Just about a year ago, but I didn't go back. My actual retirement date was, I think, January 1st.
I always said I wasn't leaving until I had it the way I wanted it. And it was there. And I, you know, I said, well, you know, today's the day. I told the boys on a Thursday, and I kind of made the announcement on Monday. And the union meeting was coming up on the following Thursday night. And I told them all there that I was leaving. I'd be leaving the first of the year, and Billy was going to take over. That was a long time. I mean, that's probably about 52 years. And I went in the office. Yeah, I think I started 1965. And then I went in the office in 1980. I went in the office in 1980 as a rep. I was an assistant in 81. I took over as business manager in 97, I think, beginning of 97, retired. And it was a good, you know, I mean, it was good. And then I was chairman of the IEC for 10 years. So I had a great career. I mean, you know, I told them my retirement party. I said, listen, I want to tell you right now, I lived a fairy tale career. You know, I mean, it was amazing. The IBEW provided a lot of things to me and my family, but I mean, I got to meet a lot of people. I mean, you know, from presidents to their press secretaries. I mean, you know, I mean, It was an interesting years. But I knew, you know, I stayed longer than most guys did, but I stayed because I wanted it perfect when I left. And it was, and everything was in good shape, and Billy's a good guy. He's going to do a great job. He's doing a good job right now. So the boys there, they're a great group, all the assistants. So you can't answer much more than that.
Here is Bob on his friend's love for insulators and collecting.
You know, I've known Larry. I mean, I've known Larry. Let me think. In fact, I'll tell you a story. He used to come. He would stop by my house at Country Club Bills. We were working Highline together all the time. And a couple of times he stopped by because I was close to 80. And on a Friday night, right after work, he'd take a shot. And he'd hit the road for an insider show. But he was, he's a great guy. I mean, if you meet him, if you ever have to talk to him, he's a character. He's a great guy. He's one of those guys you got to like him. He never had to back up to a paycheck. He always did the job, and that's what I always banked on all these guys, you know. I was fortunate enough to know him, but that was back in the 60s. That was back probably 68 or 69. So we go back a long ways.
Larry Vinziano's passion was sparked through his day-to-day encounters with Chicago's aging utility infrastructure as a young lineman. And what started as a fun avocation would quickly become a priority as Larry would begin to spend more and more of his evenings and weekends on the road, hunting for these unique and rare artifacts. Perhaps one of the most alluring aspects of these insulators for Larry, besides the thrill of the hunt, is their ability to represent the historic evolution of electricity, something he would choose to commemorate along with the IBEW and Local 9 as he worked with his old friend Bob Pearson in 2002 on the design of a custom insulator.
You know, Larry was a good lineman. He was an excellent owner. His kids have got it now. And he was just an all-around good guy. I mean, he really was. And insulators were his big thing. And that's why we got into this. He says, I'm going to make this custom set. But it was, you know, it was a great idea, I think. Now, he's a great guy. He's a great IBEW guy. You know, he just, if you met him and you were around him a lot, you'd love him. You know, he's just that kind of a guy. He's always laughing and giggling, worked hard all his life.
Larry made sure that I knew his baby jumbo Mickey Mouse commemorative insulators were not just paperweights, but the real deal, pointing to several instances where these insulators were placed in service by his company. When the international office dashed Larry's hopes of casting our registered trademark into the skirt of these pieces, the pair instead settled on the following dedication with the blessing of the IBW International Office. Each one reads, "Tribute to Historic Evolution of Electricity, H&H Electric, Local 9 IBEW, Chicago, Illinois." And on the other side, "Baby Jumbo Glass Insulator, Commemorative Edition, L.S. Vinziano, Collector 2002 Edition." They shipped one of their first castings to Washington, D.C. President Hill picked up the phone.
He called me. I had a fit. It was just like you. I was so nervous to talk to him. He said, "Listen, you don't have to be nervous. Why didn't you send me a prototype before you made them?" I said, "You know, we didn't know what they were going to really look like." I said, "Till we, Bobby and I kind of designed them." And he says, "Well, I'm telling you right now, boy," he says, "I'm building a case for them. They're going to sit on my desk, and I want to invite you and Bobby out to look at our archives in Washington." And he says, "If I would have seen these before you went and did your thing," he says, "we would have been partners." He says, "I cannot believe how they look." So he invited us. We never went to Washington, but I was so honored, just like I'm honored to talk to you, so honored that I gave back a little bit. You know, I wanted to make something that would kind of honor or give a little support to Local 9 and to H&H Electric. And just leave my mark here before I die, you know.
Collectors began sharing their adventures in print in 1969 through the publication Crown Jewel of the Wire. Search the Vinziano name on their website, and the results look all the way back to 1971. Two of these articles detail the insulators Larry would donate for Founders Plaza. When we stumbled across the image of the mold used for our commemorative castings, we asked Larry to tell us about it.
Well, it still looks good. It's sitting in the garage. It still looks good, but I think I took it from the glass factory. The glass factory was in Moundsville, West Virginia, and it's a union place. We had to find a union place to do it. It's a man and his son. They worked for Fostoria Glass. When they went out, they opened. It's called Wilkerson Glass Company, because I had to prove to Ed Hill that this all came out of a union glass place. And no, we did everything right. And so I got tired of leaving it there because I didn't want to keep pouring them. You know, I made enough colors. I made 8 colors or something, and I didn't want to. I wanted to keep it collectible. You know, like when I'm dead 10, 15 years from now, there's not going to be thousands of them. So we tried to limit them to 200 of each color. And then we'd offer them. Bobby kept usually 50 of every color just to use as gifts to give out to retirees and somebody that did a good job or something. You know, sometimes people like a little plaque.
Our path to Larry and Bob would not be a direct one. With the date selected for volunteers to string the lines in Founders Plaza, our phone began to ring. We needed more insulators. 1439 lineman Mark Staffney had dropped off a half dozen D513s, a small fraction of the 32 required for the plaza. With nowhere else to turn, we posted an image on the museum's Facebook page and requested the help of our members. It wasn't long before a lineman from Local 196, Jason Townsend, commented, "No self-respecting lineman would use those frog eyes in a plaza dedicated to our founder." I messaged Jason and he called me, directing me to Chris Hedges, a member of the board of directors for the International Lineman's Museum. Chris invited me out to his farm in the Ozark Hills with the promise of a dozen clear Mickey Mouse insulators. As Chris describes next, these two were originally sourced from his friend Larry Vinziano.
Well, again, it would have been, there's a great big insulator show in the fall every year in November back in Springfield, Illinois. It used to be a little town south of Springfield named London, Ohio. And he came to the London show one time with a large delivery truck full of 5-gallon buckets of mouse ears. And again, you know, it was kind of a pig in a poke. You really couldn't even tell because they were so dirty. But anyway, I purchased a number of them, of the buckets, and just over the years, I took them to the farm and just stuck them in the barn, and that's where they sat. And anyway, as far as the location of where they came from, specifically in Chicago, I really can't give you that. I just have no idea. And there was a big project that they had to modernize the system there, the electrical system on the L. I mean, it could have come from anywhere, but in the older parts of Chicago. And from the date codes on those insulators, you know, they would have been around the first, you know, the first decade of the last century, and you know, 1904, 1905, in that vintage was when most of those were made that we have there, that you guys have there. So
it was Chris who would pass me Larry's cell phone number, and on our return trip from the Ozark Hills, as we idled behind horse-drawn Amish buggies, we called Larry. We spoke for less than 4 minutes when Larry ended the conversation with a promise: "I will send you all you need." In 2 days, UPS delivered two large boxes filled with 24 of the individually wrapped IBEW Local 9 commemorative insulators and a dozen more of another original Vinziano family casting, the Columbia No. 2. We asked Chris how he met Larry.
Well, I had met Larry in, you know, of course, I was in school and high school, and I met Larry, oh, gosh, it would have probably been early, around 1970s, early 70s, I'm thinking. He always had a big show over in the Chicago area. It wasn't necessarily in the city, but in one of the suburbs. And I was able to go to one of those shows. My folks took me. Then he would come back over to Kansas City. And I know for a fact that we spent a lot of time together. The National Insulator Show was in Kansas City at the President Hotel in 1972, and Larry was there and had a big display. And of course, Chicago was the mecca of industrialization early on, and so the evolution of electricity and all. Chicago was a big player with early technologies and insulators and that sort of thing. And his family was in the business, H&H Electric, and so he had just, you know, this amazing ability and supply of stuff they were taking down, and would bring them to shows, and then Larry traveled a lot and was able to go to other cities and talk to, electrical contractors, IBEW guys in other towns, and talk to them and trade with them. And so Larry always had this amazing capability of working a deal and bringing goodies to the shows. And the rest of us, you know, we were all sitting there with our tongues hanging out when he'd pull his sheet cover off of his table at a show, because he'd have these incredible pieces both from Chicago and Boston and back east, wherever he'd been or worked or where their family worked.
I have never met Larry in person, but our conversation left a smile on my face. Our interview lasted an hour and 45 minutes as Larry shared his insulator collecting adventures. There was so much good content that it was difficult to decide what to include here, but this next portion, something Larry had scripted before we spoke, sums it all up.
I've been involved with Local 9, IBEW, in all my working life, as my father and my two sons and their family. We have three generations, hoping for four. I started in the late 60s. I've had the pleasure to see a new collectible hobby forming right before my eyes, collecting old electrical insulators. Now our hobby is strong and over 50 years old, probably 8,000 collectors nationwide, of which 90%, my best guess would be, are IBEW members. This hobby really touches the past of what the IBEW is all about. It's our history, and we need to preserve it. I was so lucky, to say the least. I was in the right place at the right time. Collecting insulators came natural to me, as my family owned a small electrical company, H&H Electric, so I was hooked. Insulators were in my blood. I came to work for my dad in 1984. Then in 1994, I bought the company from my dad. Then in 2010, passed the company to my two sons, Louie and Lenny. All these years in Local 9, I think collecting insulators took priority over any everyday work routine. I always found time to chase insulators. A big thrill for me, it's the chase to collect these historical objects. Insulators and H&H Electric is my life, in that order. In 2000, I approached Local 9's business manager, Bob Pearson, and told him of an idea to produce a glass insulator, not a paperweight, that would honor the history of the H&H Electric Company and Local 9 IBEW. So together we produced a private issue jumbo insulator in glass in various colors, all handmade, very limited production. insulators are a tribute to the IBEW history. What other trade can boast they created a hobby? In closing, I would like to thank all the members of Local 1 IBEW for letting us, H&H Electric and Local 9, be a part of the historic tribute to the IBEW with the Founders Park Project. I'm truly honored, Larry Vinziano.
I feel very blessed to have been able to talk to Bob Pearson. Here he is now praising the members of our International Executive Council.
You got a great IEC. I mean, you got great guys on it, believe me. I know every one of them very intimately in there. They're all great, devoted guys, every damn one of them.
And it is gratifying when someone with the pedigree of Bob Pearson validates the commitment of our top officers to save such a significant piece of our history.
I love the museum. We had a good time. Shirley and myself and my two sons were both at the convention, two of my sons. One was a delegate, one was an alternate. And we wound up one afternoon. We were over there all afternoon. I think it was amazing. I think you guys did a hell of a job. And I think that, and I told them at the evening meeting when we got back, you know, the first time I was supposed to speak, but I do anyway sometimes. I said, everybody should take it a weekend and go down to St. Louis and see the museum and see what you can, wow, that you can add on to it. I said, this is your legacy. And it's a big, I mean, guys are in awe when they go in there and see what it really was like. Like one of the things was his bedroom, that bed. Could you imagine sleeping in that bed and then getting up at work 10 hours, 12 hours a day? They should take advantage of stuff like that. It's like going to the museum in Washington. I always tell everybody, if you go to D.C., go to the office, go downstairs, and look at the museum. I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting. It's your heritage. And I think that you guys in St. Louis did a fantastic job. I do. I seriously do. I know it costs money, and I know you got, everybody contributed, or a lot of guys contributed. There's never enough. I mean, you started, you still fight up the bulk of it. Been there, done that. So I think it was a hell of a job, and I think it's a real testimony to the IBEW. And testimony to all the linemen.
In closing, we would like to offer our sincere thanks to Jason Townsend, a lineman from Local 196, Chris Hedges, board member from the International Linemen's Museum, and of course to Bob Pearson and Larry Vinziano, whose IBEW commitment shored the foundation of Local 9 and left in its wake a token on display atop the utility poles in the park dedicated to our founding father, lineman Henry Miller.